You're listening to Kat Feeney on ABC Radio, Brisbane and Queensland.
If you're looking for a job or you know someone who is, then now is the time and this is the station you'll want to listen to and tell your friends or family all about, because around this time every Wednesday afternoon, I'm going to try my best to bring you some really practical job-seeking tips, career advice and some sense of who is hiring, where and how much they're paying. There is hope, and this week, Jill Kelly is here to help. Jill's a career coach and head of talent marketing for Outplacement Australia, also an award-winning resume writer. And Jill, we're going to talk about that one day, I promise. But thank you for joining us today for a topic that has been often requested on the text line, focusing on LinkedIn. First up, thanks. And what exactly is LinkedIn? How does it work?
Hi, Kat. Yeah, I'm really excited to be talking LinkedIn. It's a fantastic tool. Essentially, it's a professional networking tool. So it's a great tool for building your presence. It's also a job platform. It's a place for storing your career. So it's like an online resume. And it's also the hirer's hunting ground these days. So, yeah, it's a really important part of the tools that are out there for job search.
Is writing a profile on LinkedIn like writing an online dating profile, or is it more like writing a resume? Like, what do you have to keep in mind?
It's definitely more, it's not a resume and it's not a dating profile either. So it's a tool for connecting and building your career community. So it's for building your connections with people who might be able to support your career, who you want to connect with. It is a place to tell them about your career, but it's more engaging than a resume. A resume is quite a formal document where you're sort of responding to a specific job ad. LinkedIn's more a place to sort of tell your career story and engage and connect more like you would on a social networking site.
So it's like the recruitment version of Facebook.
Absolutely.
Okay. So let's talk about what you put in and what you leave out. And first off, can I ask about the photo? Because profile photos are a big deal, and the one you're putting on your Tinder profile is probably very different from the one you're putting on your LinkedIn profile, though there might be a chance that whoever's recruiting you would look at both. So what do you put on?
Your photo's really important. Obviously, it is the very first thing that they generally see when they're looking at any interaction with you on the site. So whether they're looking at your profile or you've made a post or a comment, it's the first thing there. So you want to make it good. The most important difference between it and your Tinder is obviously this is a professional platform. It's a business networking tool. So what you're wanting is something that kind of gives off that sense of professional and competent. But because it's still a networking site, you also want it to be sort of that warm and engaging. So I say try and get a headshot that looks like you on a good day at work.
Okay.
Good
lighting, neat clothes, that kind of stuff.
Yep.
How about your professional detail? As you said, it's not a resume, so you're not going to be dense in detail, but what do you put on your profile page?
Okay, well, the profile page has got a few different sections in it. It's got a little bit of a section, a summary section about you. It has some detail, obviously, across your education and your experience sections. You're right, it's not your resume. You're wanting it to be less detailed than your resume, and it's also a public forum. So it's not a place for confidential content or, you know, sensitive commercial information, but you do want it to give them enough insight into who you are and what you do, but not War and Peace. It needs to be skimmable. Main thing to keep in mind is that if you can get some content across the main key sections, that kind of gives you what they call all-star status, which is, you know, just a way of saying you're more likely to be visible if you complete your profile, you know, across the headline, summary, work experience sections and the skills section.
Okay, so keeping in mind that algorithm that will be assisting recruiters who are searching actively for potential candidates, it will serve your profile up higher in the results page.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. If you've got the right words, like any search function, if you've got the right content and keywords across your document, that's how the algorithm finds you.
Okay. Jill Kelly with you from Outplacement Australia, talking about LinkedIn. In a moment, you're going to hear about three jobs that are going in Queensland. Where are they? What are they? What do they pay? But let's stay with LinkedIn because there's a bit of lingo attached to it. What is an endorsement, Jill?
Okay, so you've got a section on your LinkedIn that allows you to put your skills in there. Okay, you're allowed to have up to about 50 skills. And as we were saying, that's quite an important section because hirers and other people, if they're searching for you, they're going to usually put in a position title, a location, and a set of skills, and that's going to come up in your profile. Those skills that you've got are obviously self-nominated. So you're saying, these are my skill sets. The endorsement side of it is just a function on LinkedIn that means that your community, people who are first-level connections with you, they can also say you're good at that. So they can look, you might say you're great at customer service. Other people who know you can go, yep, they are great and I endorse her as being good in this skill. And obviously that's just an external validation. Mm-hmm. You know, from someone else.
Which is lovely. But is it smart to go about endorsing people in your network to kind of, again, give you that boost as far as the algorithm is concerned? Does it factor your engagement into its processing?
The algorithm does factor your engagement. And again, that comes back to a lot of your activity on the site. And it's quite a complex algorithm that changes quite a lot. But obviously, if you're endorsing other people, that gives them a prompt to endorse you as well, which is terrific for your own profile. And they've also got the opportunity to give recommendations, which is brilliant. So, you know, we used to have those old referral letters mm-hmm. that you'd take to the interview. LinkedIn's kind of got the recommendations section that kind of does that now. So, yeah, you know, if you're active and giving in your community, you're more likely also to receive, I think.
We've got a couple of calls I want to take in a moment, but is it a good idea to say that you're looking for work on LinkedIn?
Look, I think there's a few ways. They do have an open to work badge that you can put up that shows, that indicates to the, you know, to the world that's on LinkedIn that you are open to work. That's a really personal decision whether you want to, you know, want to do that or not. And to be quite honest, it's quite a contentious issue. Some people like it. Some other people feel like it comes off a bit desperate and maybe you don't need to do that. Generally, a better way probably to go about it is to be active on LinkedIn mm-hmm. and to be connecting with your community actively. But even if you don't put that profile up, you can just indicate to recruiters and hirers that you're open to work. So, you know, there's that option if you don't want to be sort of blasting it out to everybody on right. the internet that you're looking.
Career coach Jill Kelly with you. You're on ABC Radio Brisbane in Queensland. It's 25 minutes past two. I'm Kat. In a moment, we're going to take a look at three interesting positions that are going in Queensland. A couple of your calls coming through about the subject LinkedIn. Ron in Garoo, you've been on the site for a while, it seems. What do you make of it, mate? Hello.
G'day, Kat. Nice to speak to you again. Yeah, well, I don't want to sound like a skeptic, and I just want to put some blunt truth to the matter. I've been on LinkedIn as a professional, and what I've found is it's purely there for be it disguise or other, however you want to dress it up, as a revenue source for two particular groups. One, the LinkedIn organisation, and the second, those selling to individual / industry group, people within the industry group. So it provides an opportunity for them for target marketing, which I feel it's not fair to try to not address, well, that's the actual purpose or one of the key functions or purposes of LinkedIn.
That it's not a benevolent kind of job
site.
It's
not at all.
Yeah.
It's not all. It's dressed up to look like, oh, well, this is a place for employment / one way or the other for mm-hmm. employees or employers, but it doesn't function like that I mean, that's my experience for the last few years anyway.
Yeah, and we all know that so many of these big sites are interested in you because your data, that's valuable to them. Jill, can I just bring you in? Do you have to pay for LinkedIn? Is it a paid-for service?
No, there's a premium option that you can pay for, but the free version of it's got, you know, everything you really need. So you don't have to go for the premium version. There's, you know, it comes with a little bit more competitive insights data and those sorts of things. But it's a free platform. But I certainly acknowledge that point that, yeah, like all of these platforms, you know, there's certainly a lot of marketing that goes on them.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, you do have to be aware. Ron, thank you. Good point. Dee in Toowoomba, you have just updated your profile on LinkedIn. Why'd you do that? How'd it go?
I've just actually spent the last 2 days, yesterday and today, I was having a look at the Girrawina Health Retreat on Tambourine Mountain, and they've just hosted a workplace wellness virtual conference, which meant, you know, all the speakers were doing Zooms and all of the participants were. And with that, they invited you to provide a profile and they linked it to LinkedIn. Now, I've been on LinkedIn for quite some time, a number of years, but this is the first time I've actually purposely gone into my LinkedIn before the conference started and just refined it. And what I found was that once then I hopped onto the conference, they had like a networking where you could pop into a room and meet people, etc. And then they could click into your name on the participants list. That you could then look at the profile, but then you could bounce from there to LinkedIn. So, of course, I checked myself out when I was on the conference. But a lot of the, I think they had over 2,000 participants each day and up to 6,000 registered. And it was fantastic. We had one of the leading medical experts on the coronavirus talk about, you know, the impact in workplaces, wellness. And so I really found that LinkedIn, really was helpful. I have noticed of late that you'll see people having a little peek at you when you're applying for jobs or going for interviews. And so I've sort of seen its potential, but I'm just so excited about it because, you know, to have that exposure to that many people and also when you're on the virtual conference, you're chatting to people and then they sort of chat to you on the side. So the networking was just fantastic. So, it's the first time I've really looked at the potential of LinkedIn and tried to do something with it.
Dee, thank you for your call. Dee's in Toowoomba. You're on ABC Radio Brisbane and Queensland, 2:30. And you're joined by career coach and head of talent marketing for Outplacement Australia, Jill Kelly. We're just taking a bit of time to look at some of the things you want to consider when you're looking for work at this time on Wednesday afternoons, focusing on a subject that a lot of you have been asking about, and that is LinkedIn. It's a networking site. It's a social media site. It's whatever it is. It's a business also at the end of the day. You've got to keep that in mind too. Jill, before we move on to the three jobs that you've identified that are of particular interest in Queensland right now, is there anything else that you think needs to be said about LinkedIn, its effective use, and anything to keep in mind if you're kind of new at it, privacy concerns, that kind of thing?
Oh, look, you do definitely want to set your privacy settings to your own personal circumstances. I guess my comment would be I'm really impressed with what Dee was just saying there, and I think that's sort of, in fact, both of the comments were really insightful. But one of the things with LinkedIn is you get out of it what you put into it. I think you have to be active on there. So, you know, it's if you sort of just put your profile up and hope that opportunities are sort of going to come your way, it probably won't work. But if you're in there and active and connecting with communities that are of interest to you, and obviously that one was of interest to Dee, then the more active you are, the more likely you are to be engaging with people, building your visibility, attracting opportunities. And particularly if you're in job search, it's a fantastic tool for getting a warm introduction into organisations. So if you're targeting a particular organisation and you can have a look in your network and see if you're connected into that organisation, that can be a really, really valuable tool. But yes, certainly you want to be checking out the privacy settings and working out what's a good fit for your circumstances and your personal goals.
And are there other jobs networking sites to consider?
Oh, look, there are, even Facebook, for example, has jobs and those sorts of things, but LinkedIn by far is probably the most,
Market leader, yeah.
Yeah, okay. It is, and it's where most of the recruiters and hirers, it's probably their primary tool, okay. You know, in that space.
All right, so I hope that was helpful to you if you were puzzling over this platform and wondering what it's all about. Let's take a look at some of the jobs that are going in Queensland today. Beginning in Ipswich, there's an administration officer at a hospital ward wanted. What struck you about this position, Jill?
I particularly liked that one because it's in the health sector, and obviously the health sector at the moment is one of those areas that is, you know, it's got really good prospects. It did before COVID came along, of course, but it's, you know, still an area that's going strongly. And a lot of people think that you have to be in a health role to be in the health sector, but you don't. You can be in one of these areas like the administration area and still be operating within that industry. So I quite liked that position.
Do we know what it pays and what skills you need?
Yeah, it's a customer inquiry and, you know, support role. So they're looking for somebody who's customer focused, who communicates well and plans their time well and can work in a team. They wanted some Microsoft Word and Excel, and they had flagged, obviously, if you had knowledge of medical terminology or hospital databases or information systems, they'd be great. But they said you could just have the ability to acquire that knowledge. And it's indicating that it's going to pay between $65,000 and $73,000.
Okay. Admin officer, hospital ward, Ipswich. To another job in Brisbane. This is for a product analyst. I've kind of always wondered about what this job entails, Jill. What struck you?
Yeah, it's an interesting job, and that's probably what struck me. They analyse market data generally. So product analysts, they look at market data, they do comparisons of product on the market, they look at industry trends. So, you know, this role is great if you are one of those analytical kind of people. And they're looking for people with good analytical skills, you know, good investigative and problem-solving ability so that you can get your teeth into all of that data, and the ability to collaborate and work in a team. They were saying that it would be great if you had some retail energy product knowledge, but that wasn't essential, and ideally 12 months in a comparable role. But again, that was just an ideally. So that sort of interested me. That's why I sort of thought that was an interesting role. And they're looking at about 110.
Okay.
They're flagging.
Right.
Is about, yeah.
It's not the kind of job, like when you're a kid and you think, oh, I want to be a vet. I want to be a product analyst. But there you go. That's an interesting position to think about if you haven't thought about it and if it's something that does sound like it could work for you. In Mackay, Jill, optical sales / dispenser. What's this?
So this is like your glasses, when you're going to get your glasses and you're going into the optician. This is basically an assistant and a sort of a retail role. So I kind of thought that was interesting because obviously retail is one of those areas that's got pockets that are doing well and some areas that aren't doing as well. And this particular, you know, area I think is, again, a good area of prospect, particularly if you've got a retail or a sales sort of background. They're looking, you know, you're going to be doing everything from pre-testing equipment to kind of helping with dispensing of frames and lenses and those sorts of things. So you're going to need good communication skills, probably, you know, some experience in retail, in fast-paced environments or sales. They did say, again, optical experience would be, you know, great, but they said it wasn't essential, but you would have to do a little bit of weekend and public holiday kind of work. So that's a... You know, something to keep in mind.
And what does that pay? Do we know?
They didn't indicate, but usually those sorts of positions for those similar types of role are between the 45 to 50K per annum.
Jill, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for your time. We look forward to catching up with you again in a couple of weeks.
Thanks for having me on, Kat.
Jill Kelly is a career coach and head of talent marketing for Outplacement Australia and an award-winning resume writer. I keep meaning to ask her about that. I'll get to it at one point.